All right. Last week on Facebook, Jerry introduced the new sermon series that we are in. We will be doing a series on addressing spiritual life. And last week, Jerry gave us an introductory sermon setting up those future topics that we're going to be addressing. Jerry emphasized the need for us to hear God's words, to allow it to change our hearts, and for our actions to change as well. So hear God's words, the head, allow it to change our hearts, obviously the heart, and to change our actions, our hands, our head, heart, hands. And it's vitally important as we go forward to remember those things. And we spent time in the Sermon on the Mount emphasizing head, heart, hands as well. So today it's not going to be much different. We're going to be talking about deepening our relationship with God and growing in our knowledge of God. But before we dig into it, I'd like to highlight a few different types of people, and these are caricatures on the extreme of each side. Before we begin exploring our topic of understanding the Bible deeper. So first we have a head-oriented person, somebody that's more all theology, no heart, no action type of person. So let's say you wanted to get to know me, and so you took me golfing, which is a great way to do it, by the way. Just throwing that out there. And then we spent the next 4.5 hours of you asking me questions about myself and really digging in to what made me tick. What made Josh, Josh? That'd be a good way to get to know me better, I think. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be enjoyable for me to sit there and answer the questions for 4.5 hours, but you did pay for golf. That's also the second key. So it's a decent way. But let's say afterwards, you never speak to me again. You learned all these facts about me. You never spoke to me again. Didn't really do anything kind for me. Didn't really walk in my life. And were generally pretty indifferent to me in general. Would you say that you had a deep relationship with me? No. You might know a lot about me by that point. You might even know some more facts about me than some of my friends do, but you wouldn't love me or really even know me. You wouldn't know, you would just know facts about me. There's a difference between knowing facts about somebody and knowing somebody. So that's the first type of person. That person has that dry theology. It's not true knowledge of God at all. It's just knowing facts about God. This person can study their Bible. They could read all the scholars they want, learn all the facts of theology throughout history. But if there's no relationship with God and if there's no action, it's not real knowledge at all. It's just facts, knowledge about, but not really knowing God. I think we understand the difference between knowing about somebody and knowing. No heart. No actions. You haven't really believed what you've read. A second type of person is a head or a heart-oriented person. A heart-oriented person, kind of a feeler. You could think of a caricature. There you go. Of this person as really love-centered, but not a whole lot of thought or action. So a sincerity, very sincere, but maybe not towards the right directions. You can think of Paul as one of those persons pre-salvation. Paul loved God, or he thought he did. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous for the law. He knew the law. He knew the facts about the law or what he thought were. And then he persecuted Christians. So here is somebody who had a heart for God, he thought. But he was wrong in his facts. See, he didn't really understand who God was. He thought he was doing right, and he was all into it. Or you could think of the Jews at Jesus' time. Paul says this of them in Romans 2. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, the Jews, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So the Jews in Jesus' day, they had a zeal for God, but they didn't know about God. They didn't have the head knowledge. They didn't understand what God's words were. All feel, but no theology. or action. Or you could have all heart and action, but no theology. So who do you know? Who are you zealous for if you don't know things about God? If you don't know who you're worshiping or the Jesus that you're following, if it's not found in Scripture, who are you following? And the third kind of person would be the all-action kind of person, maybe a legalist. Let's say you have someone, that you meet someone, and they say they love their spouse a lot. But you notice when you hang out with them that they never hang out with their spouse. They never talk to them. They don't really ever talk about them. And all they do are the tasks that they think that their spouse wants them to do. And they're not really particularly happy about it either, but they just do them. They work really hard on that honey-do list, but they don't know the why or even really know their wife anymore. They just do the list as a legalist, the hands-only person, the no relationship behind the actions type of person. And there are, of course, varying degrees of each of these. Some are the worst and various, like extreme, but others, and I'm not sure if there's a person in here who isn't some sort of mixture of these, are less extreme. Most are probably an up and down, on these and varying degrees and different of these at different times. But I wonder if at least some of us aren't more oriented or more inclined to one of these at times. Maybe our personalities are more inclined to one of them. Some head, some are feelers, some action-oriented. And so we need to work on areas that might not come as naturally to us. If you are a knowledge-oriented person, watch out. Just don't be studying theology or facts about God for the sake of it, for just the acquisition of those things. If you're a feeler or a heart person, who are you following? Who are you going after? Who are you pursuing? Are you studying things? Are you acting? If you're an action-oriented person, is there a relationship there? So today we're going to focus on one aspect. We're going to focus on the knowledge aspect, the knowing God deeper part of the equation. And if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus, I want to put this out here for you today. The Holy Spirit will help you to know God deeper if you work at knowing God's word deeper. The Holy Spirit will help you to know God deeper if you work at knowing God's word deeper. So put it another way, Christian, do you want to know God deeper? Do you want to glorify God more and more, to grow in your relationship with God, to enjoy God more, to help others to love God more? Then work at knowing God's word deeper. Let's read Colossians 1, 3 through 10 together. Colossians 1, 3 through 10. We're going to focus on verse 9, but I'll read all of those verses. All right, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this we have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the full knowledge of God. That is a mouthful, as what Paul likes to do. It's probably with Paul one sentence that we just read. I'm just kidding. So let's break this down. So first, Paul is praying for the people in the church to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we have the words knowledge of his will. So, and later on, we'll see that phrase, knowledge of God is used. Those would be working together. And spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Paul is praying that his people, that the Colossian church, would have those three things. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. They're pretty all-encompassing terms. Paul has been praying that the church would increase in their knowledge of God and of Jesus and of his plan and will for the world and the church, and that they would grow in their ability to see the truth and to act on the truth and to make good decisions on the truth. So that's an all-encompassing growth. Growth in knowledge of God, growth in the ability to discern what is a good decision and the ability to make those good decisions and to walk them out, to live them out. And so how is the Colossian church supposed to accomplish that? Does it say, work really hard at it, be better than everybody else? Well, in this verse, no, it doesn't say that. It's a passive phrase. This is something that Paul is asking is done for them. In a way, the prayer is this, that they are filled with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that they receive it. The growth in knowledge of God and in wisdom and in understanding is first and foremost a work of the Holy Spirit. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 12. I'm going to read parts of it for you. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Jump to verse 4. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, wisdom from the Spirit. Now to verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. So notice how this works. Paul, who was empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach Christ, went to the church in Corinth and gave them God's words. Not Paul's words, God's words. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the words that Paul has given the people in Corinth and has helped the person in Corinth to understand the words. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to grow deeper in knowledge and wisdom and understanding first and foremost. It's the Holy Spirit's job first, and then we'll cooperate. So, but that isn't all that's going to happen. Right? It's not just Paul is just praying for the church. Hey, can they grow in these things? And sits back and everybody waits to say, hey, will I start to understand everything a little bit better now? It's not all that happens. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. Pray for knowledge. And maybe it'll just be downloaded to their brain. That's not how it works. That'd be nice. Colossians 1:10. So we're going back. Back to Colossians. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing of him, bearing every good work. The knowledge gained, the wisdom and understanding gained, the depth we gain from the words of Jesus and through the gift of the Holy Spirit should change us. True theology, knowledge of God and understanding what he has done for us, must change who we are. It should change our behavior. We should walk in holiness, following the footsteps of Jesus. Why? Because it pleases God. When we take his words, when the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and know the words of God in our hearts, it must change who we are. Someone that is growing and truly understanding more and more of Jesus is someone who will desire to walk with him, to run towards Jesus, not away from Jesus. If you're able to study the words of God and understand them, then you would know that the God of this universe sent his son to die for you so that he could have a relationship with his people and save them for his glory. That should cause you to run towards God and to grow and walk in that. And so if you learn facts and learn those as facts, but you don't run towards those things, then you don't really believe or fully understand the words that you're repeating. Right? I could regurgitate something without understanding them. And that's what's happening if you're not changing. So then check out what happens here. Paul prays that the Colossian church gains knowledge and understanding and wisdom, that they use that to walk with God, to walk in holiness. And then they increase in more knowledge of God. It's a spiral that starts small and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The Holy Spirit takes God's words. He grows our knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He helps us to walk in holiness. And when we do walk in holiness, we learn more about God. And then we walk it out in our lives even more. So you get that spiral, God teaches you about himself. He enables you to walk that way. And so you walk, you cooperate, you live in holiness, understanding the things of God. And as you do, you understand more deeper and deeper things about God, which influences your actions more and more. And so you grow deeper and deeper in your understanding. The Holy Spirit provides the depth of understanding, the desire to learn and to walk it out, and the strength to do so. All we have to do is cooperate and work on it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I coached my son Jude's soccer team. It's not easy to try to teach a game to a bunch of fourth grade boys, 11 to 12 of them, after they've been told to be good in school all day long. But it's pretty fun, especially this age. I mean, it's better than like 5 years old. We scrimmage a lot, or practice actually playing the game instead of doing a bunch of drills a lot. They don't listen the greatest or pay attention, right, if you just make them stand in a line and wait their turn to do something. They don't really understand what I'm trying to teach either. Maybe that's on me. Maybe it's on them. It's probably both. And so we play the game a lot. We just roll the ball out there and not that simple, but we play a lot. And these fourth grade boys have learned quite a bit just by playing the game a lot more than they normally would. They have some knowledge of the game going onto the field, right? They're in fourth grade. They're not four-year-olds. They know something about the game they're playing, and then they go play. And they're able to learn more about the game as they play. They do something that works, and then they try it somewhere else, and then they learn from it. This worked here. Will this work here? So they're able to learn why they play. And they understand more about the game and what they've been told. Now something maybe I've said to them clicks a little bit, and they learn a little bit more about the game, about the strategy, and the spiral continues. Let's say somebody accidentally offends you, and you being a Christian, you know that you should forgive, and so you do. It wasn't that big, like it was an accidental thing, like, okay, I forgive you. And then, in that forgiveness, you see that a minor crack, just minor crack in a relationship was restored. And maybe, if you're feeling reflective that day, that teaches you or reinforces some knowledge that you have about God already. It helps you understand a little bit more of God's forgiveness and grace. And you grow in that and how to apply that in your life, and that helps you to understand God just a little bit more, and the spiral continues deeper and deeper and deeper. This isn't everything. It's not the only way in which we grow, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's certainly a big part of how we live and operate and grow in the world. And the point of all of this is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's a relationship with God. We don't acquire knowledge for the sake of acquiring knowledge. We don't walk in holiness for the sake of walking in holiness. Neither of those are a relationship. We do it so that we can know God more and glorify Him and enjoy Him. Truly knowing God deeper, truly gaining in knowledge and wisdom and understanding will help us to have a deeper relationship with God Himself. So we're taught facts from God's Word, and we're to live them, we're to walk them out, and then we'll learn more and more as we grow and walk. But pay attention to this. We will grow in Christ when we walk according to the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we find in Scripture. We will only grow in Christ if we're walking according to what we see in Scripture. Our experiences, our living, our walking must be rooted in Scripture, on the foundation of Scripture. Our lived experiences will never contradict the facts of the Bible, the facts of what we do and have gone through, what God has allowed to happen, what God has put in our lives are always true and good. They will never contradict. The interpretation of your experience will never contradict what the Bible, or should never. The Bible is always true. That's the target that we're looking to when we look at our experiences. Our thoughts and our feelings and our convictions need to be subjected to that truth. But we don't always think about what happens correctly, right? If something happens to us, those are the facts that has happened. But we don't always look at what has happened and interpret it correctly when we think about God. Our feelings and convictions about the matter aren't always accurate either. Sometimes our interpretation of what has happened is incorrect. Sometimes our interpretation of what we should learn about God is wrong. Have you ever heard anybody tell you something that they learned about God? And you're like, that's directly against the Bible, right? Like your interpretation is wrong. Our thoughts and our feelings and our convictions need to be subjected to the truth of Scripture. And so we should ask ourselves, is what I am thinking and feeling and believing lining up with what God has taught us in His Word? The Bible is our authority, not our experiences or our feelings on the experiences. Think of the Jews again and of Paul, how the Jews persecuted and killed Jesus. Did their actions line up? Did their feelings of Jesus line up with the Word? They did not. They did not subject themselves to the truth of Scripture, but instead they followed their own faulty interpretations. Their interpretation was incorrect, not Scripture. This world is full of people that have ideas about God. They have experiences of what they think is God working, but their conclusions or how they interpret what has happened is the opposite of what God has said. People sin all the time, and they call it good. They even find ways to justify it. Maybe open Scripture. Maybe reinterpret Scripture. They twist it to line up with how they feel. See, their authority is what they want to feel, not Scripture. And so they start with their feeling and try to figure out how to word it in Scripture. We need to be careful that we're not doing the same things, that we aren't using our experiences or our feelings on something to dictate what we believe. Our feelings and beliefs should originate from Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate that truth in our lives. So this sermon is about getting a deeper relationship with God. But the problem with that is it assumes something with the idea and assumes an idea. Not all of us desire a deeper relationship with God. we don't really want to grow deeper at times in our lives. If you haven't repented of your sins and given your life to Jesus, you might want peace. You might want a moral life. You see the benefits of it, or community, or to not go to hell, but you don't really desire God. You want to stay in charge and have all the benefits of Christ. And some, perhaps all of us, at some point, or some points in our lives, if we are honest, are fully content with knowing a little and just having Jesus as part of our lives. It's a good piece of the puzzle. But we don't want to go deeper. That might mean we have to give something up. That might mean my life is going to have to change a little bit. Might change my life too much. Like, I like golf. Do I like it too much? If I, you know, if I grow deeper in Christ, what will Jesus, what will the Holy Spirit show me about how I live? Maybe I don't want that. What about you? So the first step for today should really be asking ourselves, do I want to grow deeper? Is that my desire? Or do I just want a deeper relationship with God because that's the correct answer? And if your answer is no, then that's where we should start. And what is the answer? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Run to Jesus. Go to the cross and be like, something is seriously wrong here. Like, there's oftentimes when you start those types of conversations with God where I think your starting point is, I want to want this, right? If you're honest with yourself at this point, you're like, I don't yet want a deeper relationship, but I want to want that, you know? And that's where we start with God. So run to God and ask for conviction and ability, people in your lives to help you. That should be our starting spot. So here we get to the conclusion. The sermon has been moving towards this point, laying some foundation of growth and the relationship of knowledge and holiness and understanding in relationship. We've been laying some foundation for that. So if you want to know God deeply, we need to grow in our knowledge and wisdom and understanding so that we can know God deeper. So how do we get deeper knowledge? Earlier I said what we've seen in the verse isn't all-encompassing. So first, what we have seen are the first 2 points. We should, and we've already talked about, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to truly gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So without the work of the Spirit in your life, the next points don't matter. You'll get facts, but you won't get knowledge that leads to a deeper relationship. You won't truly understand God. It's the Holy Spirit who helps you to truly understand. Second, and we all spoke about this one too, when we know things about God already, when we walk it out in our lives, then we gain a deeper understanding, so we grow deeper there. Third, and this is what we'll add, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Jesus has gifted his church with teachers and preachers to equip the people in the church, to teach them so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and deceitful schemes, so that we gain true and good knowledge and understanding from God. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul, writing to Timothy, who was a pastor in the church of Ephesus, told him to be a worker who rightly handles the word of truth. He was to look at God's words, to work through them, and to give the people that were entrusted to him accurate teachings from God. And Jesus has been gifting people to do that through the Holy Spirit for almost 2,000 years now. That's how long it's been. About since Jesus died and was resurrected. We live in a wonderful time where we could learn from teachers that have been gifted by God and the Holy Spirit that are alive today and that have been dead for centuries. We have a plethora of knowledge. I could click on my computer and find something from 300 AD in two clicks. It's valuable. And that leads me to the fourth way, though, or the second way that God uses people to grow us into deeper knowledge and understanding, community. The first point was about teachers and preachers, but we shouldn't just take what they say as fact. They're human and wrong sometimes. Sometimes they're liars and deceivers. And some teach and preach, and they don't even know God. They're not even Christians. But it's flip on the TV. So the second way is a good check on that. Community. We are to learn and study together. Look at Acts 17. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now the Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The Bereans weren't noble because they heard words that Paul and Silas were preaching, or they were noble. That's the opposite of what I was trying to say. The Bereans were noble because they heard the words of Paul and Silas. They listened to them, thought, that's interesting. But they didn't accept it out of hand. They didn't say, okay, we follow you now. Great stuff. You are more convincing than these other guys. They didn't do that. They went to the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were telling them was true. So now remember, in the first century, most people didn't have full copies of the Old Testament in their homes. I had read, you fact checked on me on this one, don't listen to what I say on everything, but that it would be a year's salary for them to have one book of the Bible in their homes. So most people didn't have that kind of money sitting around. They didn't have that in their homes. So what I believe is happening is that the people gathered together and worked through scripture together. This was a community deal. They worked through together. We are meant to learn in community. Community is everywhere in the Bible. If you look at discipleship and you look at that, everywhere in the Bible, you're going to see people together learning. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Titus 2, 3 through 4. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young woman to love their husbands and children. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So we have gifted teachers and preachers for the church, and the church also is to teach each other what they have learned about God. So everyone is to be participating in helping people to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We learn together. We learn in community. And that includes learning from brothers and sisters who love Jesus and had the Holy Spirit, who have passed and gone on to Jesus, they also have something that they could offer us. So now we get to home study. I want to say a word on that. I don't have any verses on at-home study. No verses on private at-home interpretation. I couldn't find any. And I think probably for a few reasons. First, not everybody in history had access to the Bible or could read. So a command to do those at-home personal Bible studies could not have been followed. The printing press wasn't invented till 1440, right? So also, again, like I said, not everybody could read. And third, and I think this is the biggest reason why, though, because God could have taken care of all of that, is because we are to learn in community. Nobody was born in a vacuum. We are all taught how to read by somebody, how to interpret what we read, just in general, how to read letters, how to read poetry. We're all born in certain cultural contexts, like the 21st century American world that we live in influences how we read. Some of you grew up being taught scripture. Everybody is being taught now. We learn in community. Nobody has their own ideas in a vacuum. And that's good. It's how God intended it to be. We grow together. The idea is that we're a word-saturated people. That day and night, we meditate on Scripture. That we grow, and we live in an amazing time where we have Scripture. I may not be able to show you a verse that says, you should study your Bible at home, but it's certainly a blessing and a gift that we have the words of God, like my phone sitting over, like on our phones. Anytime we want, we could hear from God, His words. So while it may not be a sin for you not to open up and study 14 hours a day, maybe it's a sin to do that if you have a family, but it's certainly a blessing that we have, and we should be so saturated with God's words that it's impacting who we are, that it's impacting our lives, and that we're impacting other people's lives, that we're listening to teachers that God has gifted and loving each other and helping us to grow. So with that said, we're working on some stuff here, and this is a teaser. Like, we don't have any fully like ready to launch yet, but we are working on some things to help assist that, to help us to grow deeper in our understanding. And I'm not saying, look, you have to do this. There's, again, nowhere in Scripture that says, at Lone Jack Baptist Church, you must do X, Y, and Z. But look for opportunities like that, that where you can maybe increase in your knowledge so that you could love God more. We have community. We have life groups. The point of those is to develop relationships so that you could work together. You could talk Jesus into each other's lives. Let me reread Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, but add on a couple more verses that will, I think, bring this home. And I'll close this out after that. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I'd like to remind you of a statement I made earlier. The Holy Spirit will help you to know God deeper if you work at knowing God's word deeper. This is such a simple sounding sentence. And yet the way that God works this out is so complex. The Holy Spirit equips the apostles and the writers of Scripture to give us the very words of God. And the Holy Spirit will grow our knowledge and wisdom and understanding, which will help you to walk in holiness, which will help you to understand deeper truths about God. And He has equipped the church with gifts needed to teach and to speak and study together so that we could learn more and more about God and to grow in wisdom and understanding. The idea is to have a community, like I said, so saturated with the words of God that we as individuals meditate on the words of God, and that we then teach other people about the words of God. Now, we all participate in it, in the gifts that God has given us, and in the experiences that God has given us, and in the lessons that we've learned about God that he's given us. Sister helping sister, brother helping brother, teachers and preachers using their gifts, working together as a body, ultimately to glorify God. We don't work together for the sake of gaining knowledge. Like, we don't work together for the sake of knowledge acquisition. We work together for the sake of gaining a deeper knowledge and understanding so that we can know God deeper. So we can know about our Creator. So our relationship with the God of the universe can grow deeper and deeper, who wants to know you and for you to know him. And in so doing, we will enjoy him even more, and we will help our brothers and sisters to love and enjoy him even more. So when we work together to understand the Bible, and I mean spiritually understand it, spiritual knowledge, the kind that changes us to our core, we are more deeply loving God and loving others together. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have given us your words and that you have revealed some of who you are to us. Lord, we can't comprehend all of you. You are infinite. But you have revealed who you are through in your word and in Christ. And help us to dig into that with everything we have. Help us to lean into that, not for knowledge acquisition, but so that we could love you more and that we could be holy and imitate you better. And help that to spill over in our relationship with others as we come together and look to you as one, as a church saved for your purposes and your glory. So give us strength and wisdom to do that. Give us discernment for what we hear. Still listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as teachers are all around us in this world, some good, some bad. Help us to lean in our community to help assist and guide and show us what is good and bad and what is true and lovely. And help that to spill all throughout our lives so we can teach our children and so we could be good disciplers, so we could help people to follow you and love you even more. We ask you to grow us in that and to give us our desire to do that and to increase that and help us to love you more and more. Amen.